7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal. Well, good afternoon, out and abouters. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and or 92.3 FM, also streaming from KYRS.org. Welcome, welcome. It is a beautiful, blustery, cold, warm, rainy, dry day here in Spokane. And I'm glad to be with you. I lost my voice. It came back about 2 days ago, just in time for the Pride Parade, because I'll be talking nonstop at that on the radio. And, oh, speaking of Pride, we have our guest today. It was once again, we are joined by Matt Danielson, who is the Executive Director of Spokane Pride. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Maeve.
How are you?
I lost my voice for a while this week, too.
Yeah?
But I have a feeling it's for a different reason.
Oh, have you been screaming at people again?
I have been screaming, yeah. We had Coeur d'Alene Pride this last weekend.
Yes, and that's one of my first questions is how was Pride in the Park?
It was lovely. It was, somebody texted me about it. I was like, well, it was adorable and there was no drama, so yeah. Just perfect. The protesters could only last about an hour and a half before they got all tuckered in and had to go home.
They were those the Pride Boys or Proud Boys?
No, they didn't even have anybody that aggressive. It was like some normal, like, you know, kind of a-hole church people.
Okay. It seemed like the Proud Boys, there was some news story that they were in town or something.
I did not hear about that.
Yeah.
And I think I would have. So.
Well, you know, in this being sick like I've been, in this dreamlike, exhausted state.
Mm-hmm.
I have dreamed things that have seemed very real lately. So I might have just dreamed that the Proud Boys were there. For some reason, there were 14 of them, and they came.
Okay, that's about how many Nazis we had in Pride and Perry 2023.
Maybe was it? Some, okay, maybe. Maybe. Do you some think weird... these guys like pull double duty? Like, oh, I'm a Nazi, but I'm also a Proud Boy. But I'm also a 3%er, or do they?
I think that Venn diagram is a pretty smooth oval.
Yeah.
So
a lot of uniforms you'd have to buy. Well, mm-hmm. Of course, theirs were just like khaki pants and blue shirts. So.
Seems like a lot of work. I'd rather just yell happy pride and, you know,
I know.
Celebrate love and equality for all.
Amen. Amen. And that was the same day, or I guess Sunday it went on too. Comic-Con was in town. That was fun.
Yeah, we had a little presence down there too, because speaking of Venn diagrams, I mean, the type of people that attend Comic-Con and go to Pride, that's also a pretty
bunch. Well, and sometimes Pride and Comic-Con would be on the same weekend, and when that happened, it was like, what a seamless garment that was.
It worked.
Especially, yeah, it did.
I would often invite, like, you know, oh, bring me the Disney princesses, bring me... yes. Bring me the, you know, for me, it'd be the, you know, hot men and, you know, superhero outfits.
Yes. But,
just kidding. I never did that.
Well, I mean, a lot of these guys are muscles. They're just fake padded muscles.
Oh, I know. Matt.
But that'll work, right?
Meh. I'm too tired this time of year anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
Too much to do. This is what we call Hell Week.
I know. Well, and, you know, we hopefully on our end, we've helped alleviate some of that. I've got a little shelter, smaller than the regular size shelter. Got a little table. Got my sound system. Got my power supply. All that. All I'll need is the parade manifest, and then I'm good to go. I don't think we'll need anything from you guys other than we've got that space on an Auntie's son in Washington, I guess, or Stevens, whatever it is. There, I think it's Washington.
I think it's Washington too.
And yeah, and then we'll just set up there. And
yeah, and I'll have that info to you by the morning, probably, as we have our meeting on the air.
Yeah.
My parade coordinator is working on the lineup as we speak, I
believe. How many folks do we have in the lineup?
I mean, I think there's probably about 115 parade entries, pretty normal, but that's really not indicative of like how many people are actually in the parade, yeah, because our parade's a little different than, like, for example, the Lilac Parade, where one entry equals a float or a marching band. Like, some of our entries are like, you know, sometimes it's just 5 people, sometimes it's like 300 people.
Yeah.
Like, all marching
and an
together.
Armada of vehicles in it too. Mm-hmm.
Well, and then there's one, the Jeepers, you know, all my lovely ladies in Jeeps.
Oh yeah.
They're bringing like 30 Jeeps. So that's like, that's a couple city blocks right there.
It's a long parade, but it's a fun parade.
Yeah. I've had a couple of the police department people tell me, we're about as big as the Lilac Parade now.
Yeah, that would make sense. Speaking of police, did you ever get any luck getting a fire engine in the parade?
I did not. I forgot to ask Lisa about it yesterday because I already felt really bad because I made her wait a little bit because I was having some technical difficulties and I was running late in addition to that for the flag raising and proclamation ceremony.
Yeah. Well,
Nate Powell registered for the parade too, so I was going to use that email.
Oh, that would have been a good little... Yeah, that would have been a good angle.
I also have some other contacts too, but I can't...
Bring the engine, Nate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Now, because if anybody's listening and has access to a fire truck on Saturday between 9 and 2 p.m.,
yeah,
we need a fire truck for the parade, please.
Yeah. You could just say that you are marching in the parade and you're experiencing chest pains. And then the engine would just have to follow the entire parade looking for somebody.
No, we have an AMR on site that would address that much.
No. Fire would come.
Oh, okay. Yep. Well, yep. Maeve knows.
Yeah, fire would come.
Maeve and my husband know better than me. So,
oh, I bet your husband likes hearing that. Well, so how have things been going? Any new surprises in the last couple weeks of what's going on?
Not really. Everything came together really well. I know last time I was on here 2 weeks ago, I was begging for volunteers.
Yeah.
We have over 400 shifts filled for volunteers.
Wow, 400 shifts.
Yeah, I think like 300 individual volunteers. Like, we have a, you know, lovely gay army that we are taking over Riverfront Park in downtown with this weekend.
Yeah, nice.
And no, it's all going really well. You know, got the park filled with accessible vendor space. Like, every booth space is filled. It's going to be wild.
How many booths, how many vendors and stuff?
Oh God, I hired somebody to handle that now, but I think it's about 240.
Wow.
Yeah.
So lots of free swag and,
yeah. Yeah.
And gewgaws will be handed out to people.
Well, there's going to be a greater presence of food vendors this year. We decided to turn Central Plaza, which is the area just to the west of the pavilion building,
okay,
into basically a food court, put a bunch of tables in there in a 20 by 40 tent.
Oh, nice.
And it's not going to be too reminiscent of Pickout, but it's going to kind of, you know, it's going to kind of look a little bit like Pickout.
Oh, that's a good angle. Yeah.
But local food vendors, obviously.
Yeah. And any interesting vendors that haven't been there before that come to mind? Anything?
That's not your deal.
You have people.
No, I actually, that's a big news for Spokane Pride is I've been the only staff since we first got staff in 2023.
Yeah.
And the festival has just gotten so big and the parade and everything. And,
yeah.
And we do 60 events throughout a year and we're in a financial position to hire some part-time help. So
yay.
I hired a lovely assistant and she does all the vendor management now.
Yay, that's fantastic.
It is much better. It only started to feel like Hell Week today, actually. The rest of it was pretty chill in the scheme of the previous years.
Well, it's getting real. This is like, how many have you run now? Is this your...
It depends. I mean, this will be my 10th year of Spokane Pride.
Yeah.
My 10th anniversary. Oh, yeah.
Have you become a little less nervous about it? Or
no.
Is it still pretty...
It's still crushing anxiety. Yeah. I mean, I now know what I didn't know.
Right.
I mean, because my anxiety has evolved. It used to be, and my position has evolved, obviously, and the event has evolved. I mean, the event was a fraction of the size it is now.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And I was just a board member, like running the stage. But now it's like we're one of the largest community events in Spokane, and we have 6 different stages running concurrently, one of the largest parades in town. And it's just the amount of logistics and thought and focus that goes into it now is wild compared to what it used to be.
Well, and you know, I guess for me, if I was in your position, I would also look back with a lot of confidence that, you know, everything, all the past ones have done gone so well. I mean, other than weather, which you have no control over, everything has come off. There have been like protester problems. There hasn't been any of that stuff. And people have had a really good time. But I'd be really like saying, see, it goes well. But there'd be a little part of me saying, oh my gosh, we're due.
No, it's objective. You are absolutely correct, especially like if something was really going to happen that was going to really mess up Pride, it'd probably been 2023 or last year when there was the No Kings the same day. But this year it's, I guess I am less anxious, but like it's still just crushing knowing that there's tens of thousands of people that are coordinating off of the plans I make. Me, who was a bartender like a couple years ago, trying to support, you know, being on the board of this organization. And, and it just, I get a lot of anxiety. Like why the heck did they leave me in charge of this? And you know, but you know, I surround myself with incredibly capable, logistically minded people, which I am not as much, but, I'm really good at sitting in the center and, you know, making all the connections and trying to make everybody feel really good about what we're doing because we are doing really good.
Well, you know, you're one of those people, and you know, I'm going to brag a little bit and I'd put myself on this category too, of being a creative person, but also being a person that can, you know, plan and show up on time and do those things, you know?
Well, and I think there's a certain type of planner that being a creative person is a very good thing for. Yeah. Like I think about the amount Pride has changed and like the amount of creativity that has gone into making it what it is today. I mean, and the amount of like risk taking and daring, like we went from two stages to five stages in 2023. Like have made like strategic investments and just like rolled the dice and been like, if we build it, they will come, and you know, come they have. And the event has grown wildly and our impact on the community has grown wildly. Right. And it's just been the coolest thing of my life to watch it grow.
I keep harping on this, but I tell you, it makes me, and my wife will say the same thing. We both feel so good for months afterwards, just being there. And it's not like, oh, I'm surrounded by like people or any of that. It's just that the vibe there is so positive, whether you're gay or straight or trans or cis, it doesn't matter because the vibe is so positive and the people that are there are kind people and they're people who have integrity mostly. I would imagine that people there are good people. And so I think that just being in that, it's good to kind of remind yourself, especially in the political climate that we have right now, that there are a lot of really good, decent, honest people out there.
And there's more of us.
There are more of us.
Even though the information ecosystem does not make it seem like it.
Right. In some ways our vote doesn't count as much as the other people's.
Well, and just what the snapshot we see online is not demonstrative of people in real life. I mean, I had a Instant Sign Factory is doing some work for us and they did for free a big rainbow. Sorry about that.
I think that one's okay.
They did a big progress flag on the side of my car on both sides. And I was driving around Idaho all weekend with it. Nobody said anything.
Yeah.
I got, the only thing I got was a couple of people waving and taking pictures. And it's like, you know, there's a lot of hate out there, but it's not like 50% of the people.
Yeah.
It's more like 5%. And most of those people, they know that there's more of us than them, which is why they're so vocal and why they're so aggressive.
Right. Now, the bathroom laws haven't taken effect in Idaho.
Nope, not yet.
July 1st. But have they started thinking about that at all, or is that just going to be like, we'll cross that bridge when we get there? As far as like in the park, I mean, you know, you're going to be denied using the restroom of your gender, you know?
Well, they did have more porta potties out for Pride in the Park, but I think that was actually a plumbing issue too in the actual bathroom.
Yeah.
We've definitely thought about that really deeply and thoroughly for, obviously, we got to reevaluate the Pride cruise next year.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do that on our next community leadership roundtable so we can think through that collectively as a community.
Yeah, the Pride cruise would be a big one.
Well, because there's only you know, male and female bathrooms there.
Yeah.
So, and
you could say you're in international waters.
No, you can't. It's a lake totally surrounded by Idaho. And the unfortunate thing about that law is you can't just throw gender neutral on the bathroom.
No.
If there are bathrooms like that are gendered at all, you can't just say they're gender neutral.
Well, and they have laws pending there that they're going to outlaw gender neutral bathrooms.
Yeah. Which is like,
I mean, it's just like,
it's silly.
It's just so funny. It's silly. Like, how can we be the most rabidly evil anti-Christian people that we can be, you know, and it doesn't benefit them in any way. Mm-hmm. It's just, they just want to hurt people out of some demonic need to hurt people, you know?
No, it's so weird. And especially, I was going to say this earlier when you're talking about the vibe of Pride.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the day, it's the weekend that you are the most free downtown to be yourself. You can wear whatever you want. You can be whoever you want. You can do, like, it's so beautiful. And it's like, why is that freedom, you know, not honored? But just the philosophical inconsistencies of people coming after these groups for their gender expression just is wildly divergent from like their actual supposed philosophical values.
Yes. Yeah. It's just, it feels like they're catering to people who really don't care that much one way or the other, but well, that'll be interesting next year, I suppose.
And we're having to maneuver it for the Pride camp we're doing in September, because obviously that'll be after July 1st when the law goes into effect.
And where will that be?
That's you can find that out if you go to the Facebook.
Okay.
It's at a church camp on Lake Coeur d'Alene.
Oh, I know. I think I know the camp.
I think you probably do. Yeah. But there are a lot of gender neutral bathrooms there that are built to be gender neutral. So that's going to be much less of an issue to navigate. But I kind of defer to the director of North Idaho Pride Alliance because she is much more knowledgeable and she's in touch with the local ACLU chapters there.
Yeah, she's a powerhouse.
Oh, she's my favorite.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Lesbian jet pilot, pride organizer, PhD in public safety.
Yeah.
We have great conversations.
Yeah, she's incredible. Do you want to, why don't we do just a quick run through of what's going on, and then I got to do my 20-minute after the hour stuff.
Cool.
So let's start off. When do things kick off?
Well, I mean, we've already kicked off. So tomorrow we have the Interfaith Pride service up at St. John's Cathedral at 7 p.m. Then Friday is when Pride really kicks off. We're taking over the park midday. 3 o'clock is going to be the rally for trans rights, which a certain person on this program is speaking at.
Yeah.
Then we'll have Pride yoga in the park. They're specifically doing yoga to like kind of process like religious trauma. And which I wish I had time for because I got that.
And what time's that at?
That's at 4 o'clock.
After. So if you come to the rally for trans rights, and that's going to be at the Red Wagon?
That's at the Red Wagon. Then the clock tower is the yoga at 4. And then we're starting the kickoff show at 5 p.m. under the pavilion. We'll also have karaoke running in the plaza with our vendor fair because we have about a quarter of the vendors are going to be there Friday, which is not typical. This is like Friday is going to be a big deal this year. Like this is the year we become a 2-day festival.
Nice.
And so we have that running till 9 p.m. We got bands, we got a dance party, we got drag, karaoke.
You got Two-Spirit Powwow, right?
We have the IndigiQ programming with Two-Spirit Powwow happening on Friday as well.
Is that at the Lilac Bowl?
That's incorporated into the programming.
Okay.
It doesn't start as its own section until Saturday at 11 a.m. That's actually when Pride starts on Saturday, and that is in the Red Wagon. And then obviously the parade will start at noon, right at noon. And then all 6 stages start start at 1 o'clock as the parade kind of, you know, winds down. And, you know, I encourage everybody to go watch the parade and basically follow it into the park. Remember, don't just go to one section. There is stuff to do everywhere.
Yeah, no kidding.
If you didn't make it to the Lilac Bowl, you're going to miss out on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
If you don't make, like, you just walk around until, you know, something looks familiar again. And then that, we start to wind down at about six, but we do keep two of the stages going. And then vendors load out and we do, you know, obviously the beer garden and the pavilion is open till nine. But after Pride, after you visit Spokane Pride in Riverfront Park, we are highly, highly encouraging people to go to the nine block party for Pride. It's not Pride Nine, whatever they're calling it. Basically, with a little help from some of my friends and some maneuvering, we have gotten the city to consent to us shutting down Sprague and doing a massive block party. So the front of nine is going to be all fenced off. There's going to be an extra bar out there. There's going to be a stage. There's going to be dancing, DJ, all sorts of stuff. So yeah, that's going to be really cool. Because I do feel like, I mean, I don't know if you've ever tried to go to nine after Pride. You literally, like, the line took an hour and a half to get through.
I am so tired because I'm old.
I am so tired.
I mean, like, by the time I get home, I pack up all the electrical stuff, you know, and then I head up the hill, drop off all the stuff from the broadcast, and then I usually walk back down because of parking and stuff. Mm. Maybe that's my problem, is I walk down, because by the time I go through all the booths and everything and see some shows and stuff, I'm just spent. So yeah. I'd love to go to that dance.
I think it's for the ones even younger than me, though.
Yeah.
Because I'm not even sure I'm going to go, but I helped plan the thing. Because
I might go home and take a nap and then come back. Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay.
You can take the bus back too. There will.
You
be
know what? I think I'm going to take the bus. Yeah, that's a better idea. All right, let's go ahead, and I'm going to play a little music. And you know who I'm going to play it from? I've been on the Green Warriors kick, and Green Warriors has played Pride in Perry, and they've played Pride, I think. Well, I think Pride, no, Pride at Garland. That's
yeah, I was going to say yeah. They did Garland Pride.
Garland, yeah, Garland Pride. But they did play Punk in Perry, or Perry, the Perry Punkster Parade of Perfection. All right, we're going to do some Sonic Spinball by the Green Warriors. And if I can get everything loaded up in time, we'll be just playing that, and I'll be right back.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
Yeah, it works.
Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street in Spokane. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com.
Out and About receives support from Eastern Washington University, the region's polytechnic, offering an increased emphasis on real-world, hands-on learning to build career-ready skills and a lifelong community. More information at ewu.edu.
KYRS exists because of the support of the public. We thank you for giving a little back with sustaining monthly support to continue independent music, local interest, and progressive news programming that is refreshing, engaging, and helps expand perspectives. Just text GIVE KYRS to 44321 and help keep KYRS on the air.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for June 8th through the 11th. Monday, Pamela Benton at Mary Hill, Jameson Sampson at Zola, and the Mac Movement open mic with Violet, a.k.a. Victor Valentine, celebrating Pride at the Red Room. Monday and Tuesday, open jam at Jackson Street. Tuesday, Jason Perry at Remedy, open mic with Nate Dunnigan at the Parlor, the All-Star Jam at Zola, Twisted Insane at the Red Room, and Messer Chups and Dazer at the Big Dipper. Wednesday, Madrona Hollow at Bolo's, Brian Bielanski at Zola, Recognize at the Red Room, Kendall Yard's Night Market with Atomic Jive and One Street Over at the Nest, and open mic with Derek Hart at the Checkerboard. Thursday, Ben Vogel at The Social, Jerry Lee Raines at True Legends, Ron Green at The Steam Plant, Our Sunday Best at Zola, The Johnson Brothers Blues Jam at Chan's Red Dragon, Organism at J-Bone's Music Land, and Black Tracks at The Big Dipper. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane. Jake Rozier will be live in the studio this Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
All right, we're back, and of course I'm Maeve, and I'm talking to Matt Danielson, who's the executive director of Spokane Pride, because, well, gosh, this weekend is Pride. But before we get going, I want to, you know, I just take this little spot where I kind of tell people some of the protests that are going on. I mean, the first and foremost thing that should be in everybody's mind is Pride this week, because you want to find hope and be able to stand with people who are kind and decent, kind of the antithesis of what we're protesting against. Lots of opportunities with Pride. So, but I'll do it anyways. So if you want to support the Spokane 3, go to pajels.org and you can check that out. Get the ice out Wednesdays. Wednesday is June 10th, and every Wednesday after at the corner of Washington and Cataldo from 1 to 3 p.m. That's ICE headquarters there. And of course, like Matt was saying, Wednesday night we also have the ecumenical prayer service at St. John's Cathedral up on the South Hill. Let's see. Spokane Visibility Brigade is Thursday, June 11th, 4:30 to 5:30. p.m. And that is at the I-90 overpasses Arthur, Thor, and Regal. And this is a call for volunteers for Fearless and United Spokane Pride Festival. But Matt was saying they got the volunteers. So
thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, you could still go to SpokanePride.org, and I would imagine they would, you know, there's other ways that you can help out Spokane Pride, or, you know, get your name on there for next year. Let's see. So there's the Rally for Trans Rights at June 12th, 3 p.m. at Riverfront Park in front of the Red Wagon. And I will be there too. I'm going to talk for like 3 minutes. Not the usual talk. I got a little something different this time. Free to Be Yourself Pride Rally, Friday, June 12th, 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. at East Sprague and North Sullivan Road. And that's hosted by the Eastside Gladiators. So if you're out in the valley, you can, that might be a kind of a fun thing to check out. Now, this, they have Say It Saturday, but I don't think that's going to be happening on June 13th.
No, I think they're all going to be at Pride, and then yeah, they're focusing on,
yeah,
Sunday.
Yeah, I just think that's a mistake. But on Sunday, there's Adopt a Corner, Host an Activity, or Volunteer. And that's on Sunday, June 14th at 10 a.m. And you can kind of look that one up online and find out more information. Any street corner on Division during that time, show up with your signs or whatever you want to do. And, you know, this is how we do it. So, Matt, sounds like things are well on track this time around. Have you run into any bumps this time that were different from last year or anything?
I mean, you can't compare the bumps last year to this year.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always bumps when you're doing something this big, but last year was particularly complicated with the many protests surrounding the event and the overarching political conditions.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's a little sad that we get used to this kind of political state that we're in, but it also kind of like, hey, we acknowledge it and we're going to keep fighting and, you know, we're just going to keep at it. So we aren't as shocked by it anymore.
No, and I think... And I think even though we don't have the big formal protest with Pride this year, there is still going to be, you know, a little bit of a joyous, like, you know, defiance with it, as Pride always is. Because
well, and people march with signs mm-hmm. lots of times, too.
Well, and some of our parade entries are, I think they're uniting and doing signs to support and shine a spotlight on the Spokane 3.
Yeah.
Because obviously that's something that some... overreach from the federal government that needs to be addressed, specifically to community members that I know personally and that are big parts of our community.
So
we're gonna have, like, you know, obvious, like the Resistance Singers and the Raging Grannies, and Indivisible has a booth, you know, just all sorts of fun stuff like that.
Yeah. How about the P Jammers? Are they
of course
this?
The Mighty P Jammers. Oh my god, good. they were so fun in Coeur d'Alene. I went and say, I had the microphone, so I took the liberty of singing along with them.
Well, that's your prerogative.
I was the MC of the event. I will sing.
That's right.
Yeah, we will chant.
And we're not going to get into the numbers game too much, but I think last year, multiple tens of thousands of people were there. Yeah.
No, it's really hard to get specific numbers, but I mean, I've heard everything from 30,000 to 70,000. I think the truth is somewhere in between that.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things going on for Pride this month, I'd be remiss to mention it because I can almost see it from my window here in the studio, is there's a great Pride display on the third floor of the library.
Oh, you mean the Spokane Pride History and Remembrance display?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That was fun. I'll just be saying what I'm thinking. I'm happy when that was over because I'm like, oh my gosh, we have to do too much in June, and setting that up is just extra.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. And
that's a really nice display. People mm-hmm. should come up here every month and see what's up here. I mean, last month it was the zine display, which was amazing.
Mm-hmm. No, it was really cool. We have displays from lots of the different organizations, shining a light on different historical figures in our community in particular, and kind of weaving an overarching narrative of, like, you know, because obviously there's bigger historical changes that is mirroring, you know, for our country. So,
oh yeah,
really cool project. I'd really recommend, especially young people, come down and see it, because I don't think a lot of us young ones really appreciate the gravity of, especially the AIDS crisis, and, you know,
right,
what life was really like for a queer person in, like, the 80s, 90s, you know,
I remember
even earlier.
When they brought the AIDS blanket here mm-hmm. in semi-trucks, just semi-trucks of it.
And yeah.
It was just a very incredible moving. It was hard, a moving experience. It was hard to walk through it and not be moved, you know?
It's like walking through a very beautiful graveyard.
Yeah. It was.
And no, I think a lot about the AIDS quilt because our roommates at the Pride Center, the Spokane AIDS Network. And so obviously it's on our mind a lot. I think it's one of the, we don't really have, like, sacred artifacts in the queer community, but I think that is kind of one. It's just, we don't really have, like, the language for it. So, like, when we bring it out for World AIDS Day on December 1st, it's just a really, really somber, but, like, unifying and, like, bittersweet type of thing, because it is, like, a unifying symbol as a community, but it also represents, you know, so many lives that were passed way too soon.
Yeah. Well, it was one of the first events where we got to see that there really are rotten people out there, you know. If you, and we got to see that later on with the COVID and all that stuff too, that there are people who are pretty bad, and they look for a community of other like-minded bad people. But yeah, so people can come up here anytime the library's open and check it out. It's on the third floor here, and it's really worth looking at.
And if you come up between 4 and 5 on Tuesdays, you can look in the window and watch Maeve doing her show.
Yeah, watch me coughing up a lung.
I know. What's wrong? Are you okay?
I tell you, this cold has been, it's like nothing. I've never had a cold like this before. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. But the first parade was 1992, right?
Yep.
So that makes it, this is 34 years?
34 years, but this will be the 35th Pride.
Okay.
I counted on my fingers and made a video of it to show my board because I had some disagreement. I'm like, watch me.
Okay. Yeah. Because you're starting at basically zero, right?
Zero is one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Do you know anybody who was at that first Pride Parade?
I know several people.
Yeah. So
I think our mayor was at the first one too.
Wow.
I talked to her yesterday.
What was that like? What was that experience like?
I mean, I was in kindergarten.
Yeah, but I mean, like when they talk about it, do they say?
It's a lot different. I mean, it was non-permitted. It was probably only like 50, 100 people.
Yeah.
Half of which had paper bags on their heads. I mean, I've seen some videos and even some old news articles of people, of newscasters interviewing people on the street about it. And it's just a whole different world. It's interesting because a lot of the same buildings, you know, it's still Spokane, but it's like, and then comparing that to what's about to happen this weekend, where we literally take over downtown like no other event.
No.
Well, okay, comparable to, I guess Hoop Fest is bigger, but
yeah,
but that's it.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because those 50, it wasn't like, oh, there's just 50 or 100 gay people in Spokane or trans people in Spokane. That wasn't the case. It was like there are 50 or 100 people brave enough to tell you that they were there, you know. And so now, thanks to legal protections, we can tell the truth, you know. We can not get fired for being who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly why they want to do things like make it so you can't use the restroom in Idaho, things like that, because they think that they can roll back the clock and make us disappear. But that's not going to happen. You know, I mean, they can fight it and they're just going to go down looking pretty evil in the eyes of history.
Yeah.
But for what they're doing, but they're not going to stop it. We're already here. We're not going to just disappear. I haven't met anybody who has detransitioned because of this. And I've talked to people who were, you know, considering it, were so afraid. But I think in the end, you just are like, well, I'm not going to give them the satisfaction of doing this to me. So,
yeah. No, and I think Pride in Spokane is a particularly powerful coalition because it's not just the queer community.
Yeah.
We didn't grow by, you know, over 10 times in the last 10 years by, you know, because we have 10 times more gay people or trans people. It's bringing in all aspects of our community. Like, you know, last year honoring that connection between the protest movement and Pride and, you know, bringing in allies of all kinds, because I think the only way we're going to really get stuff done as a, you know, left progressive coalition is if we can learn to unify at least on some really basic points. And Pride represents that, you know, universal love and equality for all that I think we needs to be the guiding light, the North Star of the progressive movement.
Yeah, I think that's well put. I mean, it's a pretty basic starting place too, where, you know, should people be allowed to be who they are?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, that's, I think most people would say yes.
I mean, we get resounding agreement from the Catholics and the Episcopalians and the 14 other open and affirming churches participating in the event.
Yeah, how many, is that how many, 16?
Something like that. Like I don't 16. Know.
But I mean, like, if you want to go, I mean,
it's a lot.
If you're a religious person and don't care one way or the other about pride or LGBT stuff, man, come on down and check out all the different churches that are going to be there.
Well, and yeah, and it's not just them being there. The Episcopalians and Gonzaga are two of our largest sponsors.
Yeah, they put their money up.
They are putting their money where their mouth is and where their hearts are, and like really honoring the fact that, you know, this is the right side of history and we need to progress together and not, you know, go backwards. And it's been the most beautiful thing, I think, of other than watching the event grow, but to build these partnerships with these, you know, with these sacred institutions in our city and just like build relationships with open and affirming pastors and being like, I'm still a recovering Christian, you know, agnostic, really bad Buddhist, but like, I think, I think that I don't care as long as you're about love, as long as you're about loving your neighbor as yourself and like, you know, not judging people.
Yeah.
I'm on your team.
Right.
And we need to embrace, you know, these allies. And, you know, I think the biggest weapon we have against Christian nationalism is formalizing that union between pride and these open and affirming churches because promoting an intra-Christianity discussion on what Jesus would actually have done, what he would have said if he were to see this modern age. Because I think a lot of those hateful churches have it very wrong.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they do. And you know, and that's kind of the beauty of this time too. I mean, it's easy and understandable to feel sad or to feel fearful because of what's going on. But gosh, I mean, if you watch movies about people who've done heroic things in their life, just being truthful about yourself now and living your life is an act of very inspirational thing to do. And if things were just normal, and thank God someday they will be, someday we'll have normalcy and there will be, won't have to fight for our rights. We'll be, there won't be such immoral people in power that that'll be great when that happens. But right now, that's not the case. And the beauty of it not being the case right now is those of us who just live our lives in a normal, really what I would consider almost like not really a heroic fashion. We're not out there fighting crime or every day, you know, fighting the fascism. But just by walking around and being yourself, it's a pretty powerful thing. And it's what a gift. I mean, it's kind of the gift of having these fascists in power right now is you get to really, your life is really important.
Well, and I think it gave the community energy to unify and build institutional infrastructure that's going to outlast this, you know, pushback. Because I do think that was kind of a crisis in the queer community as things became better for us. We also lost, you know, a lot of gay bars because there wasn't a need to, you know, have that group identity and those, you know, in-person spaces. So it's like, what do we, you know, now that we do have more acceptance, what does that look like? And we should still have the community.
Yeah.
So how do we, and that's like one of my big projects with Pride, why we do 60 events a year plus, you know, this huge community event, is how can we feel connected to each other and be a community, but, you know, and not necessarily based around like any religion per se, other than just, you know, universal love and, you know, celebration of who we are.
Right. And you know, there's the opportunity for people who are LGBT, but that, like you mentioned earlier, there's the opportunity for people who are, I mean, they're, you can call them allies or maybe just people who don't care one way or the other. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it was earlier this year, Chowder had, the restaurant had put a thing in there where somebody had commented how they wanted to eat there, but they saw the pride flag. And so they were like, we're not going to eat there. And they commented basically, well, good, we don't want people like you in our restaurant. you know, people who are hateful.
Oh, and, I know.
and their business went through the roof.
Oh, I shared a screenshot of it on Spokane Pride, and it got shared like probably like 120 times.
Yeah.
No, I think that's hilarious when that happens. Same thing with Schweitzer when they did Pride on the Mountain with SAFE, which is the Pride organization in Sandpoint. There was this fundamentalist Christian church trying to organize a boycott, and the amount of attention that boycott got the progressives, like, and like showed us, okay, so this is the place we want to go. Yeah. We want to go to this, you know.
Yeah, we're going to show support.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, Target, like how they had done, caved to this vocal minority of hateful people, and it really harmed their business because people were like, well, I think there's always the rainbow washing of things where, you know, well, mm-hmm. they do it, but maybe, you know, they do it because it makes economic sense. Well, they're showing that they're nice people by doing that. That's all they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so when they withdraw that, they're saying, well, you are not, Target is not nice people if you're withdrawing this. And now, you know, we're not, you caved to really hateful people. So, you know, we're not going to participate with you anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. That was actually really interesting because I know the guy, the director of Twin Cities Pride,
who
made that decision.
Oh, wow.
And he didn't even have board approval to go with it because they dumped Target as a sponsor after their poor behavior.
Oh yeah.
And I think it was only like 50,000 that they gave, but then they ended up raising like 200,000 by, you know, putting a GoFundMe out there to,
I think the Pride movement is really a good thing for news media to look at, for corporations mm-hmm. to look at, for all the people who say, you know what, we would love to tell the truth, but we don't want to get in trouble with this administration. Mm-hmm. We would love to be normal, just and kind, honorable people, but we can't because of this administration. Well, the truth of it is that there are a multitude more of us than there are of them. Mm-hmm. And when you take the side of people like that, that's the stink we're going to smell for a very long time. And I'm, you know, it's so sad when you see the, you know, CBS News doing what they did with 60 Minutes, you know, and basically, you know, lying because they want to satisfy one demented guy in diapers, you know? So yeah, but we'll remember that, you know, mm-hmm. and you have the chance to be a hero just by living normally and honorably. You're a hero. And that's not us. That's the media and everybody.
It makes me think of approaching Pride 2025, where we lost basically all of our corporate sponsorship. And I went to the Inlander. I don't think I went to them. I think they saw my story on Krem and, you know, that both Inlander and Spokesman did kind of deep dives on it. And that got a lot of attention to the fact that we ended up raising a bunch in individual donations. That's really how we got, you know, the Episcopal Diocese and Gonzaga involved. And plus, you know, this year, in addition to that, like adding other sponsors that are more like community-based, local, and, you know, kind of like-minded. I mean, yeah, we got some big corporations like a pharmaceutical corporation that does HIV medication, but that's still a lot more aligned than, you know, some amoral multinational corporation.
So
I think even with the pushback, it's caused us to reinvent ourselves a little bit and honestly take pride in the direction funding model wise that I would wanted to take it in anyway. Because I think we can support this event as a community.
Absolutely.
We don't necessarily, granted, I'm not necessarily against taking, you know, money from large corporate entities and turning it into a really cool event that does genuine good for our community. But yeah, I just think it's a lot more important to cultivate the relationships.
Well, and you know, there are gay and trans people working in their companies. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. that's why wouldn't they want to support the people in their company? Well, we're getting close to quitting time here. So, let me just see if I can reiterate what's going on. You catch me if I'm wrong. Wednesday, we've got the, at 7 o'clock, is the ecumenical service.
The Interfaith Pride Service.
Interfaith Pride Service at St. John's Cathedral up on the South Hill. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And then the next big things that happen are on Friday, and that's at 3 o'clock at the Red Wagon, and that kicks off with the trans rights rally at the Red Wagon. And then from there, you're in the park, so we're going to do that. There's going to be yoga in the park. And what kind of yoga? What were you talking about? The yoga was...
It's some sort of like somatic yoga that specifically is for, you know, recovering from religious trauma that a Coil Studio is doing for us.
Do people need to bring their yoga mats, I wonder? Or are they?
I would bring them, but they will have a few available.
Okay.
And big thank you to Coil for doing that. They're not charging us. They're just collecting donations. So
if you
got a little extra funds, you know, show them some love too, because they're a partner with Pride.
Okay, very good. And so... that goes on, and then there will be a dance party that evening.
Yeah, there's going to be a drag hour. Atari Ferrari is playing, and then the dance party ends up being around 8. The vendor fair is going to run like 4 to 9, so lots of really cool vendors. Okay. You don't even need to like plan your meal. There's going to be a lot of food vendors down there, and you can just come down.
And of course, down there, we mean Riverfront Park, downtown Spokane.
Yep.
And on Saturday, that's when things really kick off. The Pride Festival opens at 11, and then the parade starts at noon, and we will be broadcasting, for KYRS will be broadcasting live from the parade and announcing the folks that are there in the parade, and that will be at noon. And I think the parade lasts, we're guessing, maybe 90 minutes or so. And then after that, hightail it back into the park, and there's going to be food vendors. Matt, you were saying that it's pretty much going to be, I mean, it's not, it's going to be maybe a little bit reminiscent of Pig Out in the Park, maybe.
There's one section that's going to be a little bit like that, because we did want to locate all the food vendors together with a bunch of tables and seating just to, you know, give you a big, nice, cool restaurant in the park.
And then in the pavilion itself during Pride, is that going, that's one of the stages, right?
Yeah, that's going to be the beer garden.
Okay. And then there's going to be shows and stuff going on the rest of the day. Just kind of walk around the park. Plenty of things. How many stages did you say? 5 stages?
6 stages, actually. I don't know why.
Wow. It's going to be nuts. And there's going to be the Two-Spirit Powwow you can check out. And then there'll be some closing stuff, but then the big thing is that everything transfers over to 9 for a big street party parade. When does that kick off? About 8 or so?
I would just head there after Pride. I don't remember the exact time.
But the street will be shut down. You can go by and get a drink.
Yeah. Just go to, because it's definitely not starting before the parade. So go to Spokane Pride in the park. And then when you're done with that, you know, need a nightcap, want to stay up and dance and party. Head over to 9.
That'll be fun. Okay. So I think that's kind of it. I can't think of anything else, Matt, other than, of course, happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
and again, I would just invite you, you know, you don't have to. There are so many, I've said before, I think there are more people who are not LGBT than are that are there, but they're allies. Or maybe they're people who are just kind and honorable people who want to have a good time with like-minded people. So you can go down there, and it's fun. It's great people watching. People dress up. It's not quite Comic-Con-ish, but maybe a little bit Comic-Con-ish. Maybe.
It has tendencies.
Yes. And just enjoy yourself. It's going to be a warm weekend. It's going to be nice. There will be no... supposed to be no rain even, so that'll be good.
Yeah, no, I think it's looking like it's going to be perfect.
All right, sounds good. Well, thanks, Matt, for being here with me on Out and About, and I think that's about all we have time for.
Thank you for having me, and for anybody that doesn't know me, I'll be the crazy person running around the park screaming Happy Pride this weekend.
Yeah, and if you want to go to SpokanePride.org, That's where you can kind of, I think there's schedule there.
Lots more info. We're going to have all six lineups on there for the first time. Wow. So if you want to see a particular artist.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Happy Pride. And I will see you down at the Pride Festival. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane.
KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford, 88.1 FM, 92.3 FM, Thin Air Community Radio.
The following program was pre-recorded.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Hostilities and displacement orders continue to claim lives and drive people from their homes. The scale and uncertainty of these orders make them almost impossible to comply with safely, bringing into question their effectiveness, a requirement under international humanitarian law.
In Lebanon, Israeli forces kill 8 people in the southern city of Tyre following new evacuation orders. As President Trump claims a peace deal with Iran is days away,